Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Movie Geeks United special uncut Friday the 13th interview series. On this episode, actor Arlen Escarpeta will discuss his role in the upcoming new reimagining of Friday the 13th. Got to be excited. This is a huge movie. And how does it feel for you coming up to the premiere? Are the nerves going? How do you feel about it?
Oh man, like the nerves are definitely there. Just because I've been doing this for like almost 10 years now. But this is probably going to be the biggest, most commercial thing I've ever done. It'll probably make the most money, and God willing, it'll kick open a bunch of doors for me too.
Oh yeah, I would think
I would think so.
Yeah. Before I ask you about those experiences working on that one, tell me a little bit about how you got started in acting. And first of all, when did you first know you wanted to be an actor?
Fourth grade.
Wow.
And not. I mean, it's a funny story. Not because of I saw some actor and I was like, I want to do that. It was simply because I had the messiest desk in my class. I was the most talkative kid. I went to a really cool school as a gifted magnet. I just wasn't focused. And I think at the time I was the only black kid in my entire elementary school. And my teacher, she made me play Hamlet in this play that they were putting on. And I didn't want to do it. And she made me do it. She said she was going to make me get up on stage whether I knew my lines or not, the whole thing. So I ended up learning my lines. And the day we performed it, it was basically because I was proud of myself that I could actually do something I didn't think I could do. And I was like, oh, I kind of like this feeling. So I guess I'll become an actor now. And that was kind of it right there. I mean, go figure. Huh.
So, but when you knew that kind of you caught on to acting, were there people that you kind of looked up to in films that you saw?
It didn't really hit me, man, until I got to college. Like up until that point, I went to performing arts high school, did the whole thing, but I was like more into like track, football, and girls.
Right.
So, once I got my focus right, like once I got to college and actually decided to pursue it, to really go after it, that's when I really started looking at people from the Don Cheadles, the Kevin Spaceys, Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Ellen Burstyn, I dove headfirst into it, and I didn't realize it, but I'd watched everything I grew up watching Night Court, I watched a whole bunch of things that I guess were out of my league when I was a little kid, so I guess I was kind of studying it and not even really knowing what I was doing at the same time.
So did you set out to go to L.A.? What was that trajectory? What was your path that you chose to take?
I grew up here in L.A., and the way I broke into the acting business was a group of friends that I went to high school with. They were a group called Third Store. I think now they call themselves Chapter 3 or Chapter 4, I forget. But they did a music video. Well, we all went to high school together. They did a music video. My counselor let me leave school to go hang out on the set because, I'm technically learning about the industry. So she let me go. And they needed people in a scene. I got in a scene, got a close-up in the music video, then ended up showing it to the guy who became my manager.
Right.
Took a meeting with him after blowing him off for like a year, which was really, really bad. And literally the day I decided to take this meeting with this guy, he just got approved for funding for his movie that he was producing. He let me audition for his movie. I got the part. And that movie got me to the Screen Actors Guild, got me an agent, and then they just threw me out amongst, you know, the wolves, basically.
Right.
Wow. Was that the Players Court?
Yep, that was it, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was my first one.
Yeah, but you've done a lot of television as well.
Oh, yeah.
Along with films, most notably American Dreams. You had a big recurring character in that. Is there a difference kind of in the discipline of acting in TV or in film or just by how it's shot? Does that affect it at all?
It's definitely shot differently. But one thing on American Dreams, they shot that like a film. Like it wasn't like like TV shows. I mean, obviously you always move a little bit faster. Film, I mean, you really have to prepare yourself to, like, you know, really a lot of sitting around and waiting, you know what I mean, and things like that. But that show was shot just like a movie. But there's a clear difference between film and TV. You know, and you can see it, you know what I mean? Except for, of course, now you watch things on, like, cable, and a lot of cable TV shows are like mini movies, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the whole HBO,
right.
It's not TV, it's HBO thing. It's, you know, so... It differs back and forth. I think it depends on the filmmaker, the network. I mean, all those things come into play.
Yeah, I mean, TV in general, I think it's taken HBO's lead, has become a lot more cinematic with its dramatic series, particularly.
I mean, it has to, man. I mean, they'd want to, considering, like, you know, people aren't really going to the movies except to see Friday the 13th, you know.
Exactly.
But,
well, they are. They are going to see horror films. They're going to see horror films and comedies.
Exactly.
Regardless
right.
Let me ask the. I'm sorry, man. Let me ask you about one other film before we get to Friday the 13th, and that's We Are Marshall. Which is a film that I love. I mean, it doesn't matter when I turn that on, when it's on TV.
It's a good movie.
I start bawling. I mean, I start crying. It gets me. What was the feeling like on that set? Because it had to feel like a pretty kind of sacred story. Like, you had to do justice.
It really was.
These.
It really was. I mean, we got to film in Huntington, West Virginia. You know, we got to film on campus at Marshall. And when I tell you, everybody in that town, Huntington is a very, very small town. Everybody there is connected to the story, whether it's directly, indirectly, a cousin, a grandfather. Everyone has a story. And just on set, I mean, one thing that, you know, McGee did, our set was wide open. Anybody could come and sit. Anybody could come and watch. And, you know, we embraced, you know, the family, you know, and the families of Huntington and of Marshall. It was an incredible experience. I mean, to play a real person. Reggie Oliver was there with me. I got to, he's like one of my best friends now. We still talk to each other.
That's great.
I look forward to doing more work like that, you know, because as an actor, you know, we get to do, like, you know, fun stuff like Friday the 13th. We get to do American Dreams where you're recreating history. But when you're actually playing a real person telling a true story, and they can verbatim tell you, this is what I said, and this is what happened, and this is what I wore, you know, like, it's definitely something special.
You could feel that. When you see the movie, you can feel that kind of responsibility that you guys all carried to do justice to it.
Absolutely, just an incredible movie.
So, Friday the 13th, how did this part come to you? Was there an audition involved at all?
Okay, all of my movies, including We Are Marshall, it all starts on the basketball court. Believe it or not, I kid you not. I play in the entertainment league. That's how I got in We Are Marshall, because McGee and I played on the same team, and I still had to audition. But he told the studios, like, that's my guy, that's the guy. Like, even after they ended up, I think, casting someone else, and that didn't work out, he was like, I told you, that's my guy. So that was We Are Marshall. For Friday the 13th, Andrew Form, who's one of the producers of the movie, and Brad Fuller. Brad doesn't play, but Andrew does play in the league. And basically, I met Andrew, like, years ago at a Golden Globe party just through some friends of mine at American Dreams. You know, we just chatted up a little bit, and that was it. And then, lo and behold, last year when he got announced for the movie, my manager was like, hey, I think that guy plays in the league, and we met him before. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah, trust me, you remember, you've met him before. And so I had a game right after his, and so I was playing, having a really good game. My manager came up to him, introduced himself, and he's like, oh, yeah, I remember you guys from the Golden Globes. And he's like, yeah, it's my client, Arlen. He's like, oh, yeah, Arlen's a really good player, you know, all that other good stuff. And my manager basically asked me, you know, was there any roles available for me in the movie? And Andrew was like, yeah, can he be funny? And he's like, yeah, I mean, he's a funny guy. They're like, he does, my manager said he does more, you know, like, drama, but he's a funny guy, but they never cast him for funny. And my manager was like, well, you know what, I'm going to push his agents to make sure he gets an audition. And Andrew said, you know what, before that happens, how about, you know, here's my information, call me beginning of the week, and have him come in and sit down with Brad, my producing partner, and myself, and, you know, we'll just chat up a little bit. And I was like, okay. So they set that up. We go there, we shoot the breeze, we talk about basketball and nonsense for a good, like, hour and a half, and then finally they're like, oh, and there's this movie, Friday the 13th. And we talk about the character, you know, how he's a fun guy, you know, just down the line. And then from there, I think I went in three or four different times for casting. I got approved by everybody, and then just had to get approval from the big guy, you know, Michael Bay. And once that happened, then the rest is history, man.
Yeah. Here's the question. If Plague of the Entertainment League and how that has brought you extraordinary luck in your career, do you ever let the person you're kind of schmoozing off a little light in the game? Or let them win by any chance?
That I can't do, because my MO is I have the most heart, and I play to win. I mean, we don't. My team right now, I think we're 3-4, so we're not even 500 right now. So I play to win, and I think that's what gets me. Like, people know, like, yeah, he plays hard, and he probably works even harder. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I can't let up. I can't let up and let anybody. I mean, unless, you know, Steven Spielberg happened to get in the league, then he can do what he wants to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. No, I would do the same thing.
I mean, If Don Cheadle with his new deal at NBC wants to score 20 on me, so be it. I mean,
go right ahead. Yeah. So tell me about Lawrence. Tell me about your character you play in Friday the 13th.
Oh man, Lawrence is Lawrence. Everybody knows a Lawrence, or has been a Lawrence at a time. He's that guy that just you can't put a finger on him. You know what I mean? You can take him anywhere. You know, he can mesh with anybody, and he's that guy, you know, you go to a party and like you guys don't know anybody, and then 5 minutes later he has like 15 friends. That's him. Like that's who he is. Like he's outspoken, easygoing, fun, and just it was great, man. It was great to play that character, just because that's me, you know, in a sense, but I just don't get to do that often.
Yeah. Had you been familiar with the first series of films?
Oh yeah, I mean, I grew up watching horror movies and all the and you know, I'm not familiar with, you know, the Jason Voorhees series, like, you know, the whole thing. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of trepidation going into a movie that has this like long history and so highly regarded by the horror fans? Is there any sort of fear?
Always. I mean.
Oh, okay.
Without a doubt, I mean the fanboys, they make the call. You know what I mean? Like if you don't get their blessing, you know, you're kind of, you know, shooting yourself in the foot. So, I mean that in itself, is weight for any actor. And then you throw Michael Bay's name into it. You know, they did this great Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. And you're like, wow, I don't want to be the guy to mess it up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, I understand. I was just now while you were making it, was there? I mean, I guess there's always that. Or maybe that's not. I don't know. I'm going to ask you. Is there this sense like we're dealing with this very holy property, and I guess everyone's aware of that? Do you feel that the producers or the director on this film were at all like felt they were being held hostage by the fanboys at any time?
You know what? I don't think so, man. Because I think what they did, with us doing a reimagining of the movie, not a sequel. And not a, you know, not starting from the beginning, they're able to do things twofold. You know, they're able to satisfy the diehard fans and give them exactly what they want, plus a little bit more, while at the same time, someone who may not be as familiar with Jason or Friday the 13th will be like, damn, I want to see that movie.
Right. You know? No, that's good to hear, because, you know, I don't think you should ever be. You should never make a movie for one segment of the population. You should make it for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because you know what? And that's the line between, you know, between business and you know, and art. You know what I mean? Like, we could make a movie strictly for the diehard fans, and they would love it. But then the movie probably would, you know, wouldn't gross as much as it, as we hope it will. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you got to count your bases basically.
Right.
Now I know you can't give anything away.
I'm giving it all away. That's it.
I got a couple of questions about just the atmosphere on this set. First of all, when you arrive at, you know, the Camp Crystal Lake set, I mean, it's such kind of an icon in the horror genre. Does that give you some chills? Does that really aid your performance being in that environment?
It you know what it is, man? It's not like being inside of a studio. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you're actually out in the woods and it's there for you to see. You know, you can walk around, you can touch it, you can feel it. Everything's tangible, so it absolutely, you know, it thrills you and gives you a little bit of chills at the same time because it's official. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like it's what you've read in the script, what you've, you know, seen in your head, even what you've seen on screen already. There it is, right in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, wow.
And do you, I don't know how to ask this. Did you have any scenes involving Jason?
Yes.
Yeah. And what was that like? Did he hide from the crew at all from the crew when he was wearing the Jason, so it would be a shock when they first saw him and all?
Well, you know what they did. Unless he was directly in the shot with the mask and all the other stuff, then you know it wasn't. We didn't want everyone to get comfortable seeing, you know, Derek who plays Jason, Derek Mears. We didn't want people to get comfortable seeing him in the mask. You know what I mean? Like it always should be a wow factor. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
The same way it will be on screen. Is the same way, you know, we portrayed it, you know, while we were working. You know, I mean, he wasn't like walking around like, ha ha, look guys, I'm Jason. Like, you know, no jokes. Like, you know, everybody was working. It was serious stuff.
Yeah. So what you see on screen is the genuine reaction. Yeah.
And that's just smart for the film. I mean, just to give the film, because you want to make these guys scary again, because they, you know, it becomes camp, I guess, in the original series, and you got to bring back these guys and make them really like the essence of evil.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things I really loved, like, that they showed at Comic-Con, which it was, like, a big, like, oh, my God, Jason is running? Like, you know, like, there's this big thing about that. And for me, as a fan, I said, wow, I think that's kind of a, you know, like an upgrade. It's kind of good. Like, okay, he's not, like, you know, like, a track star, but the fact that you see him move that quick to, you know, to go in for a kill, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it kind of dispels that. You know, when you're watching the movie and you kind of go, oh, really? Okay, that guy's running and he's just walking and, you know, and catch, you know what I mean? It just kind of dispels some of that stuff and it just kind of gives them a little bit more edge, especially for audiences this day and age. Like, you know, we're so tech savvy. We want things really quick. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you've done comedy and you've done drama and the horror genre. I always envy the actors in this genre of films because their performances have to be at such kind of a fever pitch a lot of times. What's that like, that dynamic of actually performing in a horror film?
You know what it is, man? I can honestly say it's probably one of the hardest things that I've done. I'm so comfortable, you know, with the dramatic stuff. Like, that's my bread and butter. The comedy stuff, like, you know, comedy's pretty, you know, pretty easy if you can be that free. But when you're playing horror and you have to really believe and know that you're scared, like when you finish doing a scene and your heart is still racing, like, you know, that kind of thing, or even shooting a scene where you're in intense, I mean, I'm talking about like crazy type of pain, you know, like it takes a lot out of you. There were some nights where I literally, like, you know, got back to my hotel and like just passed out. We filmed nights. And so we'd work from 5:30, 6 in the evening until sunrise, 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, and it was brutal. It was hard work. We had a great time, but it was definitely work.
Yeah, and you guys shot this in Texas, right?
Yeah, we shot in Austin, right?
Oh, terrific. Tell me about Marcus Nespel, the director on this, who's got a great track record of the films on his resume.
Marcus has an eye, man. He between he and the cinematographer Daniel Pearl, like they created, you know, like a great work atmosphere already. But just the fact, I mean, to watch these guys work, because I've seen their work before. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Daniel shot the original, you know, Texas Chainsaw. I mean, like all of these things, you know, that came into play, and to watch them work and to work with them, he gave me the freedom to do everything, you know, within my character circle. Nothing was out of bounds as long as it was Lawrence. This is what Lawrence, you know, how he feels, what he thinks, and I think he gave all of us that kind of freedom, which was really cool to do, because, you know, you never want to be too boxed in as an actor, even if you're doing, like, you know, quote unquote Friday the 13th movie, which, you know, a lot of people may try to chalk it up to that, but there's a lot of, you know, like serious, you know, like thought process and character development that really goes into it. And I think before we started filming, he had one-on-ones with every single actor just to get a sense of where we were with the characters, what he, you know, saw from the character, with the producers. I mean, like, we got a sense of what everybody wanted and felt about our characters before we even got on set, which was great.
Yeah. We've talked to actually, excuse me. I'll obviously cut my coughing out. I'm sorry. I'm still getting over a cold. We actually spoke to Daniel last year about his Chainsaw kind of legacy, and we're excited. We'd love to speak with Marcus for this show. But tell me what the fans can expect this go around. What do you think they'll be most taken by?
I think just the fact that it's real. All the actors are great. I can say that, like, you know, 100% right hand raise. Everybody gave 150%. There's nothing. You're not gonna be sitting there thinking you're watching a movie. You're gonna really go. You're gonna fall for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to be.
That's the best you could ask for. I mean.
Yeah. You know, like, I hate the fact, like, if I'm watching any kind of movie and I sit back and start looking around the theater, and you know what I mean? Like, that's the worst for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I think that's what people can really expect. We committed, man. We committed. I'm Lawrence. You know, my friend Aaron is definitely Chewy. Travis is 100% Trent. I mean, everybody is dead on who they are. Like, you're never gonna be like, oh, that's that guy from that, you know, from that show or this. Nah,
mm-hmm.
not mm-hmm. at all.
Have you seen it with an audience yet?
No, I haven't. I will get to soon, but I know what I did get a chance, a little bit of a glimpse to see. They have video of the audience watching the movie, getting like characters, which is, yeah, it's really interesting.
Oh, that's great. I mean, these are audience films. I mean, you want to see a film like this in a crowded theater.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
What else you got upcoming?
I have a really cool indie that took me back to Texas. Funny, of course. Called Rosalind, which is like this really it's like a thriller type. It's so hard to explain without giving away the story. It's a thriller. It's really, really good. I know that sounds so cliche. It's really, really good, but
not at all.
Oh wow, I don't know how to explain it.
That's
a good thing.
It's called Rosalind.
It's called Rosalind, yeah. Which is just the name of a street where this event happens, and basically it's a bunch of frat guys, and they're doing their, you know, their hazing ritual type stuff, and literally, like, I think the story takes place within like one day, one night, and all of this stuff that happens, and it's a great script. I mean, I try to pride myself on picking good projects, and it's a wonderful, really, really good script that people are really, really going to like.
Well, we'll look out for that. Will you come back whenever that finds a release? We'd love to have
you
back on.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. I also have Doughboys coming out, too, so you can check for that soon, too.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Yeah,
which one?
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, what is that called?
It's called Doughboys. It's a modern-day, almost like, I guess the best way to explain, it's almost like a modern-day Juice, and I think that's going to be airing like on BET sometime in March or something like that. So I'm trying to spread myself thin, but not too thin. So, you know.
Right. Well, best of luck to you, man. And we cannot wait for this movie.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Same here.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, Arlen. I appreciate your time very much.
Same here. Much appreciated as well.
Thank you, man.
Talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.